Okay, we're going to begin here at the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Gemara here is commenting on the piece of the Mishnah that says, Amar Shvita Tibi Karo, if he designates the place far over where he's going to have his Shvita, picks the base of the tree, something that is Misuyam, then Malech Mimakom Raklav Vadi Karo Al Paimama, and he can go from where he is currently to the base of the tree, the trunk of the tree, 2000 Amot, Umikaro the Beito Al Paimama, and then from that base of the tree to the trunk of the tree, another 2,000 amot. Nimsa malech mehashecha dalet alafim amah. And that way he can move 4,000 amot from the time that the sun sets, from the onset of Shabbat. The Arava comments on that and says, Amarava, behu dechi rahit li karo mati. That's only true that if, from where he is currently, he could run, and before the sun sets, he could make it to the base of the tree, to the trunk of the tree. I mean, he has to have the possibility of getting there prior to the onset of Shabbat for that to be his Shvita. He can't have his Shvita be out there without the ability to actually get there. Amar le Abaye, is that possible? The Mishnah, when it describes this case, is a case where he's walking and the sun is setting on him. It's becoming dark. The onset of Shabbat is happening right away. The Rebbe responds and says, no, Chashka means Chashka de Beito. There's not enough time for him to reach his house, to reach his home. That's what it means that the sun is setting, or the onset of Shabbat is coming. He doesn't have sufficient time to reach his house. But he does have sufficient time to reach the base of the trunk of the tree. There's some that say, it's dark, and the onset of Shabbat will come if he goes at a slow pace, at a normal pace. He goes, but if he runs, he could make it. And that's why it works here, that he makes a Shvita. The base of the tree is because he does have that possibility of reaching the tree prior to the beginning of Shabbat. Rabbo, Rabbi Yosef, Abba Gazle, Be'orcha, they were traveling together. Amalei Rabbo, the Rabbi Yosef, Tehei Shvita Tenu, Tute Dikla, Tesaveil Achua. We're going to have our Shvita on the tree that rests on another tree. Obviously, two trees that were intertwined. One tree sitting on top of the other. And he said that our Shvita should be on that tree that sits upon the other tree. Vamrila, tute dikla, the parik, mare mikargo. Order that dekel, that palm tree that takes care of its master from the taxes. It was so productive, it had so much in the way of fruits, that he could use that to pay off his taxes. Amalei liyadanale, says, Rabbi Yosef says, the rabble, I don't know any of these locations. Mae smokhalag, rely on me, you can count on me for that. If one person knows it, the other doesn't. It's the Tanya. He says we have a Baraita, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Imayu Shnaim, Echad Makir, Ve'echad Sheinu Makir. If you have two people walking together, one of them recognizes the location, and another one does not recognize the location. Ze Sheinu Makir, Moser Shvitato L'Makir. Then the one who doesn't recognize the location can give over the Shvita to the one who does recognize it. He makes him into a proxy, an agent for him, that he can make his Shvita. So then, Zesh Makir Omer, Tei Shvita Teinu B'Makom Ploni. And then the one who does recognize location can say that our Shvita, for both of us, is in such and such location. So here we quoted a Tosefta. This is from the Tosefta. The only thing about the Tosefta is, it does not begin Rabbi Yossi Omer, it begins Imayu Shnayim. So, Velohi, and that's what the Gemara comments here, Velotani Lei, Ki Rabbi Yossi. It's not the case. He misquoted the Tosefta, and it's not really written in the name of Rabbi Yossi. The only reason he said that it's in the name of Rabbi Yossi is so that he would accept it from him, because Mishum de Rabbi Yossi Nimoko Imo. That we have a principle with regards to Rabbi Yossi, that Nimoko, or Tamov Nimoko Imo, which is that his positions within the Mishnah are so well founded and clear cut and well thought out, then in general we would paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So in order to give more weight to the position in the Tosefta, Rabbi said that it was said over in the name of Rabbi Yossi, even though it really wasn't said in the name of Rabbi Yossi. But in order to make Rabbi Yossi feel that it was a significant Tosefta or Braita that he could rely on, he said it over in the name of Rabbi Yossi in order that he would accept this halacha, that Rabbi could do it on his behalf. Okay, next part of the Mishnah. Meinu makir, o she'enu baki. If he doesn't recognize anything, he doesn't know the halacha, then his shvita is where he is. Hanei, alpaimama, heichan, ketivan. Wants to know, these 2,000 amot that we discuss in the Mishnah, where is the source for them? Where are they written? The Tanya, we have a Braita. Shvu ishtachtav. Each individual should stay in their location. Elu arba amot, that we saw earlier, teaches you that you have 4 amot of personal space. Al yitzei ish mimkomo. Person shouldn't leave his location. Elu alpayim ama. These are the 2,000 amot. So Gemara continues to say, Minolan. Alright, we know that it means you shouldn't leave your location, but how do you know that the space that you're given, a location, is 2,000 amot? Rav Chista, Lamadnu, Makom mi Makom, Umakom mi Nisa, Nisa mi Nisa, Nisa mi Gvul, Gvul mi Gvul, Gvul mi Chutz, Vchutz mi Chutz. This is a multi-part Gezeirah Shavah, which is that you can see each of the words that's used here. We'll go through the Psukim in a second, that carry it over from the source to our pasuk here by Ayetzei Ish Mimkomo. So from that we have this Gezeirah Shavah that teaches us from the pasuk that is written in the end of Sefer Bamidbar with regards to the Arei Aleviim. With the Arei Aleviim it says, Dichtiv umadotem michutz la'ir et pa'at keidma alpayim be'ama, that the distance away from the city that is considered still be a part of the city are these 2,000 amot that surround the city. So outside of the city, Pad Kedma, here it happens to be the eastern corner or the eastern side, you get 2,000 amot. So those 2,000 amot teach us about the 2,000 amot over here. And that works because the pasuk that we have says, Ayetzei Ish Mimkomo. So that's the word Makom. Then we have, by the Parsha of Arei Aleviim, right afterwards they have the Parsha of Arei Miklat. And in Arei Miklat it says, V'samti lecha makom esher yanus shama, that we will have a place, or well, giving you a place where you can run away to, which is the Ir Miklat. Then that gives you the Gezeirah Shavah, the first one of Makom Makom. But now we need to have the next Gezeirah Shavah, which is Yanus Yanus. And then it says, afterwards, Mikvul Ir Miklato Asher Yanus Shama, that if he leaves from within the walls of the Ir Miklat that he goes there, then he'll be prey to the Goel Hadam. So there it says, Asher Yanus, and the word Givul. So the Anu Yanus Yanus is the Gezeirah Shavah between these two psukim. First pasuk we quoted and the second one we quoted. But it also has the word Givul in it. Then the continuation is, Matzah Oto Goel Adam Michutz LeGivul. If the Goel Adam finds him outside the boundaries of the city. So there you have, again, the Gezeirah Shavah, Givul, Givul. And that we will take from there. And the word michutz we'll use as a gzeirah shavah, because it says matzah oto goel adam michutz legvul, and that will match up marotem michutz la'ir et pad kedma. That'll be gzeirah shavah of chutz chutz. So those are the gzeirah shavot that we have. We have makom and our pasuk, tuli makom and the pasuk of v'samti lecha makom asher yanus shama. Makom in isa is within internally in that pasuk. It says makom en yanus, so that's the gzeirah shavah. Then v'nisa minisa means from the pasuk of misamti lecha makom asher yanus shama to the pasuk of gvul la'ir miklato asher yanus. So then we have the gzeirah shavah of nisa nisa. Then internally in that pasuk we have migvul la'ir miklato asher yanus from nisa to gvul. And then from that pasuk of migvul la'ir miklato asher yanus shama to the next pasuk of matzah oto goel adam michutz legvul. So there you have the gzeirah shavah of gvul gvul. Internally in that pasuk you have the word chutz and gvul, so have that gezeirah shavah, and then from that chutz to maratem lechutz la'ir, that gets you the gezeirah shavah chutz chutz, which gets 2,000 amot from that pasuk found by the Arei Aleviim over to the pasuk here found by Shabbat. It says, I would say ish mimkomo biyom haShabbat, and that teaches us that there are 2,000 amot of tchum that come from the pasuk by Arei Aleviim over to our pasuk here by the dinei Shabbat. Where it says, well, Pnei Lif Mikir Ha'ir V'chutza Elef Ama. There's also a pasuk by the Arei Aleviim, which says, from the wall of the city outward, you get 1,000 amot. So there you have the word chutz, and they have 1,000 amot. So why don't we learn from there? Danim chutz mechutz. Pein danim chutz mechutza. In the Gezeirah Shavah, we are done a similarity of words between the word chutz and chutz, but over here, the word is slightly different. It's v'chutza. So we don't Dan a gzeirah shavah of chutz to chutza. Or it says, "Umay nafkamina? Why are you making such a distinction?" Ha Tana debate Rabbi Yishmael. We have in the name of Rabbi Yishmael or the Tana debate Rabbi Yishmael. B'shava kohen uva kohen. Zui shiva, b'zui bi'ah. These are psukim that are found by nigei habayit, nigei batim. So the psukim lay out in the nigei habatim the process by which one deals with negaim in the bayit, and there it says uvakoein to look at the nega. And earlier, to psukim earlier, it says that the kohen v'shava kohen. It says the shava kohen. It says that it happens achrei shivat yamim, after 7 days. And so too, the gemara dashens that uvakoein, when the kohen returns again, that's also after 7 days. They learn it out from Gzeir Shava of Beyond Shiva. Happens to be that they learn also, happen to learn a number of other things from this, which is that how we deal with Negaim in different situations. You have a Nega that expands or is bigger after being closed for 1 week, then you have to take out the stones and replace them, and then you wait till the following week to see if it comes back. If it comes back, then you take down the house. In a case where it stayed stationary for the first week and then expanded in the second week, also, over there, you have to take out the bricks and clear it out, and then wait till the third week to see if it comes back again. And if it does come back again, then you would take down the house, destroy the house. There's a third scenario, which is that if it was stationary in the first week, it didn't grow, and the second week it was stationary, you do the same thing as you take out the bricks, clear it out, and then you see if it comes back in the third week and see if it gets destroyed. Sukkim themselves don't really deal with all those issues, and then the Shava Kohen, Uva Kohen, allows the maneuvering of the psukim in order to come up with those three scenarios or those three permutations of what can happen with the nega batim. In the end, they learn out of gzeir shavu between v'shavu va to teach about these 7 days. Somewhere it says, "Hani milecha delecha midi didamile." There, you have no choice. You have shavu va. Truthfully, in that case, they both mean the same thing. They mean that the kohen returns. So the underlying meaning of the words, even though they're different words, are the same. And there we are dan gzeir shavu because there's no alternative. Over here we have a better alternative of chutz to chutz, which is more similar. We're going to opt for the words that are the same rather than the words that are different. Okay, in the Mishnah we had the machloket with regards to the 2,000 amot, whether the 2,000 amot are viewed as a radius, a circle around the city, and the radius is 2,000 amot, or whether you square them out. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus manoshach. Let's understand Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus' position, who says that it's circular. If he has gzeir shava from the Arei Halevim, by the Arei Halevim it says peot ptivan. It says the corners, peat, the side or the corners, which is a reference to a square, not to a circle. So if that's the case, then he should be a square. If he doesn't have the gzeir shava, then then where does he know about the 2,000 amot? So, he needs the gzeir shava to get the 2,000 amot. But once he uses the gzeir shava is said in the context of the words peyot, corners, or sides, which refer to square and not to a circle. Where it says, lolam itle gzeir shava. He has the gzeir shava. Shani ocha damer kro. Pasuk says, by the arei alevim, zeye lehem migrishay ha'arim, that these will be the swaths of land around this city. So the ze atad noten peyot, vi atad noten peyot l'shoftei shabbat. That the word ze is a miyut, and the miyut is only for these, meaning the arei alevim, will you get peyot, will you have corners, it'll be squared out. But those that utilize it for shabbat, the 2,000 of shabbat, will not get such a thing. Virabonon. So then what do the rabbonon do with the word ze? Tani Rabbi Chananya omer, kezeyu koshovtei shabbat. Similar to this, or as such, should be koshovtei shabbat. It's an interesting way to darshan the word. The word ze, in general, is considered to be a miyut, something that is exclusionary in nature. Over here, the Braita takes the word ze, and makes it kaze, and therefore changes it from a miyut into a riboy, something that's inclusive. And by doing so, they say, oh, that also includes shovtei shabbat. So in the end, actually, it turns out Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus seems to be the more simple of the explanation, because Zeh is really used as a miyut. Chachamim have to play on the word Zeh in order to make it inclusive rather than exclusive. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, Hamavir da'ad amot b'shut harabim, enu chayav ad shemavir hein v'achsonan. That when a person carries a b'shut harabim, you're only chayav if you carry the amount of the hypotenuse of a 4x4 square. So Rashi says, well, this is the only way to deal with it. The only way to deal with it is to say, well, if you have a square that is 4x4 amot, and then you draw a diagonal line from corner to corner of the square, you'll end up with the alachsonan, which is the hypotenuse of the triangles. You're splitting the square into two triangles. Triangles have sides that are 4 amot by 4 amot, and then we want to know what that length of the hypotenuse is, and that's what you're going to be chayav for caring for. So Rashi says that's how you get a peyot, corners, or squared out, with regards to carrying in Rishut HaRabim. So first of all, we'll do the calculation, and then we'll discuss what Tosafot says about this. So the calculation of that distance is actually 4 squared plus 4 squared, 16 plus 16, which is 32, and then you take the square root of 32. Square root of 32, which is Pythagorean's theorem, would be the length of that hypotenuse. So that turns out to be somewhere around 5.656. That is the roughly the square root of 32. Rashi gives you the calculation as being 4 8/5. The reason Rashi gives you that in calculation is because the Gemara in other places tells us that when it comes to Pythagorean's theorem, if you have the sides of a triangle that are 1 amah by 1 amah, the third side is 1 amah and 2/5, which basically is the square root of 2, because if you take 1 squared plus 1 squared, and that's 2, and you get the square root of that, that would be the hypotenuse of such a triangle. That hypotenuse is 1 2/5. So Rashi says, well, we have here 4 by 4 on the sides of the triangle, so I'll multiply that 1 2/5 by 4. So if he does that, he gets 4 8/5, or the equivalent of 5 3/5, which is 5.6. Well, he said that the square root of 32 is 5.656. They have the calculation. Rashi has the calculation as 5.6. So it's pretty close. Not exact, but pretty close in terms of what that hypotenuse is. Tosafot over here discusses exactly what this means. Why is it that you get this 5.656 amot before you are chayav in Rishut Rabim? And isn't that in all cases? So Tosafot brings the shot of two grandchildren of Rashi. Rashi here explained what he thinks. He thinks that wherever you walk, you get this amount in Rishut Rabim in order to be chayav. Rabbi Shmuel Mefarish, that's the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Shimarbim dal amot Rishut Rabim ribua olam. You square out. Your 4 amot, whenever you're standing in Rishut Rabim, you get your 4 amot in the directions of the world. Meaning that absolute north, absolute east, absolute west, and absolute south, those are the direction of your 4 amot. Then, if you are Mavir or Zorek or Rishut Rabim to the eastern side, the western side, or the northern side, or the southern side, then you'll be Chayab for carrying 4 amot by themselves. If you carry 4 amot, then you're Chayab. Whereas, if you move against the diagonal of the world, you throw in that direction, or walk in that direction, that's when you'll be granted Alach Sonan. That's when you'll be granted this square root of 32, the hypotenuse of that 4x4 square. So if you move in the directions of the world, then you're chayav if you move 4 amot. If you move through the diagonal or the hypotenuse against those directions of the world, on the diagonal of those directions of the world, that's when you get this additional amount on the diagonal, because that's how we set the square up. Whereas the Rabbeinu Tam suggests, Rabbeinu Tam being Rabbeinu Yaakov, the brother of Rabbeinu Shmuel, his younger brother, who actually learned by him, another grandson of Rashi, says, you get the Alach Sonan, you get the diagonal no matter which direction you go in. Because the Dalet Amot, and this is what he says, that is mentioned anywhere else throughout Shas, is not to teach you that that's the amount that you have to move in order to be Chayav, but rather to teach you that's the square that you need in order to determine the hypotenuse. He says that, truthfully, the only way to be Chayav in Rishut Rabim and all these other places that we say Dalet Amot is to carry the square root of 32, the 5.656, Amot, and that's when you would be chayav. If you carried less than that, you actually would not be chayav. And the reason the Gemara expresses it as 4 amot in all these places is because 4x4 is what gains with the hypotenuse that is that size. Tosafot, in the end, says, v'lo nira, that pshat of the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't mean to make so much sense. Because whenever it comes to these corners or the squaring out on Shabbat, the squaring out is done to the ruchot ha'olam, based on the direction of the world, I mean the natural directions of the world, the north, south, east, and west, and that's how the square is set up. So there is a square set up that way, and that does allow for the possibility of you carrying 2,000 amot and still being chayav, or 4 amot and still being chayav, because there is really a square there that is determined. It's not a square that's always moving like the Rabbeinu Tam suggests, and that would be more akin to what the Rabbeinu Shmuel says. Right now the Gemara continues, Amra Papa, Bodiklon Ravo, Rava was testing us to see if we knew the halacha. Rishut Rabim, case in Rishut Rabim where you have an amud, you have a post Rishut Rabim, gvoa yud, that is 10 tzvachim high, roch of David, and it has 4x4 tzvachim. Tzarechein v'aksonan, in order to be chayav, do you have to move across that post from its and its diagonal, meaning the hypotenuse, that the diagonal line through the middle, although or not. Lab Hainu the Rabbi Chananya, isn't this the case that Rabbi Chananya mentioned? The Tanya. Chananya Omer, Kazeyu go shofte Shabbat. That any din that has to do with Shabbat, you have to put it al achsonan. They have to be on their diagonal. And that we don't use the Dalet Amot, but rather, in order to be Chayav on Shabbat for an area that's considered to be Rishut Yachid, does the Rishut Yachid have to be 4x4 Amot square? Does it have to be a square that's 4x4 Amot? Or can even be a circle that is 4 Amot, whose radius is 4 Amot? He answers him, he says, well, if you say Kazeyu Kol Shoftei Shabbat, that Breita that we quoted before, and that was qualified by Rav Chananya, that anything to do with Shabbat has to be squared out, similar to that of the Arei Leviim. Then over here too, it would have to be a 4x4 squared area in order for you to be chayav as Rishut Yachid, and it would not suffice that it has a radius of 4 Amot and be a circle with that type of radius. So that's how he answers him. Rashi says that that's exactly what it means. It means it has to be squared out 4x4 Amot, and that it can't be a circle. Tosafot, you can see the picture in the Bach, introduces the possibility of what it means, that it has to be Balach Sonan, which is not simply that it's a square 4x4, but then you actually put a square around the diagonal of the original square. Does it have to be the size by which you can put another square around the diagonals? Meaning that these squares are really 5.65 by 5.65. And that's the size of square you need in order to be Chayav. Or is it sufficient that it's 4x4 Amot? In that instance, according to those votes, you wouldn't be Chayav until you had a square of 5.65 by 5.65 in order to be Chayav. Depending, again, if you thought like the Rabbeinu Tam, that would be always. Or going to the Rashbam, that would be the case if you were against the diagonal directions of the east, west, north, south of the world. Otherwise, if you follow the normal directions, then you would only need 4 Amot. And now the Mishnah said, the concluding lines of the Mishnah were the Machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda with regards to who could utilize an Eruv when it came to the Ashir and the Ani. And that Mishnah concluded, V'zesha Amiru, Ani Meri V'raglav, Am Rabbi Meir, Anu in Lanu Ela Ani. Am Rav Nachman. Nachman says the Machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is Bimkomi. If the person is physically there and says, I want to have my Shvita where I am currently, can he do that? Rabbi Meir says that's only possible for an Ani. Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible for an Ani and an Ashir. The Rabbi Meir savar, because Rabbi Meir believes Iker Eruv Bapat. The main way to make an Eruv is through using a meal. Ani hu dakilu Rabbanan ilavei. But the Rabbanan would make it with regards to Ani that he could actually do it physically. He could walk out there and do it because he doesn't always have bread. So the main way you're supposed to do it is with bread. That dispensation to do it where you physically walk there and you make your Eruv over there, that was only given to an Ani, a poor person. But an Ashir has to use bread. Aval Ashir, no. Rabbi Yehuda savar iker Eruv beregel. Rabbi Yehuda believes that the main way to make an Eruv is actually to physically be there. Echad Ani v'echad Ashir. It doesn't matter whether he's an Ani or Ashir, that's the main way to make the Eruv. And therefore they both can do this. Aval b'makom bloni, divra kol Ani in Ashir lo. But even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you want to make your Eruv, not where you physically are, but you're saying, I want my Shvita to be at the base of that tree or somewhere else, that only an Ani can use, not an Ashir. So the case in our Mishnah where you say, Shvita ti bikar ha ilan, that my Shvita is at the trunk or the base of the tree, that only work if you're classified as an Ani. Now Ani doesn't literally mean a poor person here, but an Ani will be anyone who doesn't have bread with them at the time. If you're a wayfarer or you're traveling, then you have the classification of an Ani because you're not in your house. Anybody who's out of the house will be considered as an Ani for this halakha. So then the Gemara says, okay, v'zohi she'amro, that line in the Mishnah, who is that? Man k'tani lo. Who's the author of that line in the Mishnah? Rabbi Meir. V'hai or aheicha koi, einu makir or she'enu baki b'halakha. That is someone who doesn't know a specific location or is not a bakin alacha. He says shvitati bimkomi. So Rabbi Meir says about that shvitati bimkomi zui shamru. This on this Chazal said that's only for the ani and not for the ashir. But then Mishnah continues and it says v'lo amru me'arvim bepat elo hakel. They only gave the eruv a pat in order to be lenient. Man katani lo. Who's the author of that line in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who believes that ikar Eruv is through the regel, it's through doing it physically, being there, being present. And the fact that they allowed to use bread in order to make the Eruv was a dispensation, that's sheer, that he could do that and not worry about it. He doesn't have to actually walk out there. He can send someone out there. So that was a kula for the Ashir. That's the way that Rav Nachman explains the Mishnah. Rav Chista explains the Mishnah in an alternative manner, which is Machloge b'makom ploni. Machloge between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is a case where he's 2,000 amot away from a location where he wants to have a Shvitah. And he says, Shvitati mitachad ha'ilan ve'ikar ha'ilan. He makes his Shvitah far away. On that, the Rabbi Meir is Savar Ani in Ashir Lo. That only an Ani can do that, not an Ashir. Whether you're poor or rich, you can use it. Again, poor and rich here doesn't mean literally, but someone who is on the road, someone's out of the house, or someone's even in their house. If he's on that physical location, he says, I want my Shvita to be here. Everybody agrees that whether you're poor or rich, that works. The Ikar Eruv, Beregyo. Because everyone agrees that the main way to make an Eruv is to physically be there. If you're physically present, then you can definitely do it, whether you're a Ni or whether you're an Ashir. The only question is, if it's far away from you and you want to make your Shvita over there, can you do that if you're an Ani or an Ashir? Rabbi Meir says only if you're an Ani, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says you can do that whether you're an Ani or an Ashir. V'zoi she'amro, that line in the Mishnah says, this is what we said only pertains to a Nani, Manu K'tani La, who's the author of that position, Rabbi Meir. V'ahai koi, and on what is he saying there? Rehi koi, aha. He's reading it on this, Mishababa Derech V'chashkalo. Someone who was coming in the way and it got dark and he wants to make a Shvita 2,000 amot away from where he is. That he's allowed to do only if he's an Ani. That's what Rabbi Meir says. The Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, you can even do that if you're Ashir. The ability to use pat is a kula, man k'tani la. Who was the author of that position in the Mishnah? Divrei hakol. That's according to both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, because they both agree that ikar eruv is beregel. And the ability to use pat or bread is a kula for the ashir, or the dispensation that we gave for the ashir. And even Rabbi Meir agrees that that is a dispensation for the ashir. The only thing they disagree about is whether an ashir can, instead of using that bread, can he also say, Shvitati is out 2,000 amot away from where he is, or does he have to physically take the bread or have someone take the bread there? Tanya Kavoti de Rav Nachman, but brighter that supports Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah, because it says, Echad ani ve'echad ashir, poor person or a rich person, marvim bepat. They both can use pat. V'lo yitzei ashir chutz l'tchum, an ashir may not leave the tchum, v'yomer shvitati b'imkomi. Say that my shvita is in my original location. The only person who's allowed to use this methodology of making a roof that says it's over there, 2,000 amot away from me, is someone who is on the way, and the sun sets on him. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the position of Rabbi Meir. Yehuda Omer, Echad Ani v'Echad Ashir, Ma'arvin v'Regel. Whether he's an Ani, whether he's an Ashir, you could say that my Shvita is here or in location. V'yitzei Ashir chutz l'tchum, and the Ashir can go out of the tchum, v'yomer, Tehei Shvitati b'mkomi. You can say, let my Shvita be where I am now. V'zehu ikaro shel eruv, and that's the main way that you make an eruv. V'tiru chachamin lebalabait l'shloach eruvo b'yad abdo. Chamim or matir for a balabayit, someone who is wealthy at home, to send out his eruv with his servant, his child, or his agent, in order to be lenient with him. So this machloket, or the way that it's expressed here, seems to fit the explanation of Rav Nachman and our Mishnah, and not Rav Chista. And that is because Rav Yehuda, when he says that the Ashir is allowed to make an Eruv by his regel, it's only in a case where he says, Shtei Shvitati Bimkomi, in my location, in my place, can he do it? But if he tries to make his Eruv far away, that will not work. Rav Yehuda will not disagree with Rabbi Meir in that instance, and he will agree that only an Ani, only someone who is on the road, could do that, not someone who is at home. They cannot exercise that right from home. And in terms of this Braita, the Lashon in the Braita, he'd say, Ashir chutz l'tchum, that the Ashir can go out of the tchum. That terminology, Rashi says, is lav davka. Doesn't mean literally that he can go out of the tchum. It just means that he can go within 2,000 amot of his house, establish his shvita there, and then be able to return to his house. But not that he physically goes out of the tchum. The Tosafot agrees in the end with Rashi's interpretation, but he just explains the term. It's a Ashir chutz l'tchum. Chutz l'tchum doesn't literally mean outside of his 2,000 amot of tchum, but rather 2,000 amot outside of Iburah shel Ir. Chutz l'tchum sometimes doesn't mean your tchum of 2,000 amot, but tchum means the outskirts of the city, the ibur hashel ir. So he's going to leave the ibur hashel ir, and then he's going to establish his shvitah. So that's when you start counting your 2,000 amot from there. So it just means you've left the city, you've left the limits, or the city limits, and that's what it means, v'etzei chutz l'tchum. But you see from here that, first of all, you have Rabbi Meir saying that shvitati bimkomi works, but shvitati b'makom ploni only works if he's on the way, if he's traveling, that he's an ani. That's position Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda says that an ashir can still use the word shvitati, says he can only use shvitati bimkomi. If he's physically present, then he's there. But to say shvitati b'makom ploni, there he agrees to Rabbi Meir that only an ani could do that. And that's similar to the way Rav Nachman explained our Mishnah, or the difference between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah. And that is that Rabbi Yehuda believes that the Ikar Eru for a person is Derech HaRegel, whether he's a Niyav Yashir, and the bread is only the Hakel, is allowed the Yashir to stay home and send it out with someone else. But that's only two ways that he can make an Eru, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is either the Yashir is physically present there, or he sends the bread to do it. What he can't do is sit in his house and say, my Shvita is so in such and such a place. So that's supportive of Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Maseh b'anshei Beit Mamal v'anshei Beit Gurion v'aroma. These were locations. Shayu mechalkim grugoro t'tzimukim l'aniyim b'shnei batzoret. They were giving out to the poor people in years of famine. They were giving out dried figs and dried grapes, raisins and dried figs to the poor people. Ubayin aniyei kfar shichin v'aniyei kfar chananya. These were villages around those areas and they wanted to come to benefit from these handouts that they were giving to the aniim. So they used to go machshichim ala tchum. They used to wait by the tchum, the edge of the tchum, and the macharat mashkim uvayim. And the next day, they would walk and be able to reach that location. So you see that these individuals, even though they're classified as ashirim, they're called aniim here because they needed handouts, but they're still ashirim with a gabay or din of Shabbat. Because they have, they're coming from their homes, they're within 2,000 amot of their homes, and within the homes, they have a minimum of shtei seudot. If they have shtei seudot already, they have a din of ashir because they're near the close to their houses. And so even though they are really aniim, they are impoverished people, but the gavei Shabbat, they have a din of ashir. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you see from here, that they could physically go to the edge of the tchum and establish the tchum there. Even though they were ashirim, they didn't have to bring bread out and make their eruv. That way they could simply go there and sit there. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, there's a proof that you can make your eruv derech your regel. Rabbi Ashi, Matnita Nami Deika, our upcoming Mishnah in tomorrow's daf, is also Miduyak Tiktani. Mishi Yatzah Lelech Le'ir Shemarvim La. Person left his house and he wants to make an eruv between here and the next city. Next city is within 4,000 amot of the current city. So if you make an Eruv 2,000 amot out, you'll be able to walk in that direction to the other city on Shabbat. So he started out on the journey, v'yakziro chaviro. And for whatever reason, his friend called him back and said, it's not a good time to go now, you shouldn't go now, and he stopped his journey. Humotar lelech, he can rely on the Eruv that he was going to establish. Kol b'nei ha'ir asurin, but the remainder of the city or anybody else who relied on him could not. Tivei Rabbi Yehuda, v'avinam ba, ma'ishna ihu, ma'ishna inu. Why is there a difference between him and the remaining people of the city? The case here is where he has two houses. He has a house in this city, and he has a house in that other city. And you have 4,000 amot between the cities. Not exactly 4,000 amot, a little less than 4,000 amot. Iu gave it enough to lay the orcha, since he set on the way. He started to go. He then attains the status of anei. Therefore, he could make his shvita by having in mind the other location, meaning that he'll say, oh, 2,000 amot away from where I am, that's where I'm tending to go, that's where I want my shvita to be, in order that I can walk the full 4,000 amot on Shabbat to get to this other city. Whether he has to actually physically say this or not, that'll be a machlok in the Gemara tomorrow, but it's Yom Dina or Anan Sade. He wanted to go to his house in the other city. Because he wanted to do that, it's as if he said, I want my shvita to be in between so I can access that house in the other city. So here you see that here he's an ani. And that's why he's allowed to do shvitati b'makom ploni. My shvita is outside of where I am, or far away from my end. That's why it works, because he's classified as ani. Had he been classified as a shir, wouldn't work, and that's what the remainder of the city has. But the remainder of the city are classified as ashirim. Hanach, ashirim ninu. The remainder of the city are classified as ashirim. Alma, bo b'makom ploni, ani in, ashir lo. And this is Rabbi Yehuda saying this. That when you say Meshvita is far away or in this distant location, that only works if you're ani, if you're on the derech, if you're traveling, not if you're sitting in your house as an ashir. So the people of the city who are sitting in their houses, they don't gain the Shvita by sitting in their houses and saying, oh, my Shvita is in this place. This person who started to travel and then attained the status of ani, he can utilize that dispensation. So you see, Rabbi Huda agrees that the Shvitati B'Makom Ploni only works for Ani and not for Ashir, and that supports Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah Shmamina. Matnile Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, or Rav Chama Bar Ashi, Lechiya Bar Rav, he was teaching this Mishnah to Chiya Bar Rav, Kamei Du Rav, in front of Rav, Echad Ani V'Echad Ashir, said over this, Aloha Amalei Rav, Siim Ba Nami Aloha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Says, end off, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, Aliba de Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Nachman, who says that Rabbi Yehuda agrees by Shvitati B'Makom Ploni, that it does not work unless you're an Ani, and Shvitati B'Mkomi, that when you're in the location and you want to get your Shvita, whether you're Ani or Ashir, that does work. Rabba bar Rav Chanan, Ava Ragil de Ati, Martivna de Pumpadita. Regularly on Shabbat, he used to travel from Martivna to Pumpadita. Amar, Tei Shvitati B'Tzinta. Says, let my Shvita be in this place called Tzinta, where he had some sort of designated area or makum mesuyam between the two tchumim, where he knew that he wanted to make a Shvita. Amalei Abayi, my datech. What is your explanation for this halacha? How come you're doing this? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, halachic Rabbi Yehuda? Because you think that you have here a machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, so the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. From Rav Chista, machloket b'magum bloni. And Rav Chista says that the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is about Shvita Tevi Makom Ploni, whether you're allowed to make Shvita away from yourself. So therefore, according to Rav Chista, the machloket is, Rabbi Meir says only an Ani can do this, and Rabbi Yehuda believes even an Ani or an Ashir can do this Shvita Tevi Makom Ploni. So you're an Ashir, you're sitting in your house, and you're saying, oh, my Shvita will be in this place, Tzinta, so you can walk to this other city on Shabbat. So you as an Ashir, you're doing Shvita Tevi Makom Ploni. So you're saying, machloket Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Allah, Rabbi Yehuda, according to the explanation of Rav Chista. But, Bahad Rav Nachman. What about Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman interprets the Mishnah differently. Vitanya Kavateim. We had a Braita that supported that. Amalei Hadribi says, I take it back. I can't do that. I'm not able to do this. And you are correct. This isn't the proper way to do it. I have to create the Eruv in a different way. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Arei Amru, Shavat, Ishlo Dalet Amot. Whoever takes Shvita gets Dalet Amot around him. Notenet Eruv, Ishlo Dalet Amot, Obo. If someone puts out the Eruv, do they have Dalet Amot or no? Meaning that if you physically create your Shvita in a location, you get the 4 Amot of your location, and then you start counting your 2,000 Amot from outside of those 4 Amot. Now, if the Ashir sends the bread with someone to place down on his behalf, does the same thing happen? Wherever that Shvita is, where the bread is, does he get Dalet Amot around the bread, and then he counts the 2,000 Amot? Or the 2,000 Amot start directly from the bread? Is that granting of the Dalet Amot only when you're physically there, or even when you create the Eruv through putting down a loaf of bread? The dispensation of using pot is wanted to be lenient with the wealthy person. So he doesn't have to physically go out there. If you say that he doesn't get Dalet Amot around the area where the bread is put down, that's not really lahakel, that's also lahakmir. Yeah, it's a kula that he doesn't have to go out. It's lenient that he doesn't physically go out, but it's a chumrah because now he only gets 2,000 amot. He doesn't get 2,000 amot outside of the 4 amot perimeter that we granted to an eruv. So it's not all the lahakel, it's also lahakmir. Where it says, afilo hachi nechalei ki eichad lo nitrach nifuk. Now the hakel here means that the overarching, overwhelming feeling of this is that it's a kula, it's a leniency. He doesn't have to physically go out there. That's a big break for him. And that's a leniency that someone else could put the bread there. He doesn't have to physically walk there. Okay, there's a little bit of a offset or a mitigating factor that he only gets 2,000 amot from where the bread is, not 4 amot plus the 2,000 amot. But that is such a small give up in order to not have to go out to make the Eruv there that we call that the hakel, to be lenient. And so from that, we can't prove anything as to whether a person gets 4 amot when they put the bread down, just like they get 4 amot when they're physically present. Okay, we'll stop over here.